Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Now, I spoke to author Julia Edelman last week, and it was about her debut novel, really good novel, by the way, The Grateful Water. It's set in Dublin in the 1860s, and there's a bout of cholera spreading through the city and the kind of backdrop to the story. And she gave me the lovely graphic novel. It's called Fear and Fever as a Gift, and it's about another disease, typhoid, and the illustrator of the book, and it is beautifully illustrated. She joins me now, Claire Foley. Good morning to you.
Hi, Oliver. It's great to be on the show. Thanks a million.
No, thanks a million for joining us, and well done on this lovely graphic novel. You don't expect to come across a graphic novel about typhoid in a Edwardian Dublin, but that's what it is. How did you get involved in this?
Well, the project is sort of ongoing. So Carly and Class, who are sort of the project leaders, got in touch with me about this idea, this Fear and Fever idea for the graphic novel. Mm-hmm. And it's part of their larger project called Typhoid, Cockles and Terrorism, which I think is a great project title.
Typhoid, Cockles and Terrorism. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Which immediately had me interested. And I've done some kind of historical comics work before. I actually did a historical comic about the life of Owen McNeill as part of the sort of Creative Centenaries project.
Very good.
So they'd contacted me in relation to that. They'd seen that and they'd sort of gone, well, I think you might be a good fit for this. And I was kind of instantly interested. I think it's kind of a fascinating topic. But yeah, I was like, you know, 1903, Edwardian Dublin, typhoid, you know, I was kind of interested straight away. So they just kind of explained the idea, which was like thinking about different creative ways to sort of engage the public with the kind of history of medicine.
Yeah.
And kind of thinking about the historical voices that aren't typically heard. You know what I mean? We often get stories from sort of the rich and doctors and so on. But, you know, we're not really hearing from sort of like people of lower socioeconomic backgrounds, kind of nurses, caregivers and stuff. So they wanted to. A story that also took that that perspective into consideration as well.
Oh no, it's a deadly idea. And we should say Typhoid, Cockles and Terrorism, that's an exhibition which is opening in Dublin in June. And Typhoid Land is the website attached to it. What did you learn, Claire, about typhoid in this period in Dublin and how it affected the place at the time?
I think it's really interesting. I think the sort of the themes of like the exhibitions and the book are sort of, they're all sort of interlinked, and there's kind of some really interesting kind of things. Some of them quite, I would say, a bit disgusting, typhoid was spread and so on. I didn't really know a lot about it as a disease, but I think one of the really interesting things the book does is kind of conveys how little was really understood about typhoid. And I think there was a lot of sort of finger pointing and blame where people were saying, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. But actually typhoid was sort of within a lot of the structures of the city. And it was coming from a lot of different sources. And I think in the book, we use this great kind of visual language, which is the orange is kind of showing the sort of threat of disease or the spread of disease. And it's, you know,
very clever
on the food they're eating, you know, in the milk they're drinking, on their hands, you know, it's everywhere. But, you know, the characters can't really see that. They're just, you know, and then it becomes a bit of a blame game. They think, oh, it's the poor people are giving it to us or this, that and the other, you know.
It came from poor sanitation, poor access to clean water and so on, and inadequate hygiene, which was obviously typical of the time.
Yeah, one of the big exhibition themes is the sort of maladapted imperial infrastructure. So basically the city's drainage system was flushing the sewage out into Dublin Bay, but this was basically contaminating all of the shellfish, which were then being eaten by a lot of Dublin's poor and working class people.
Oh, yes, okay.
So this is just this awful cycle which was going on. Which is, you know, one of the reasons why obviously cockles is in the title, you know, typhoid, cockles and terrorism.
Yeah. The sad or perhaps the cruel part of it is the incubation period of the typhoid infection. You don't know you have it. Maybe it could be a month later before it starts to show.
Yeah. So that's actually the sort of crux of the book is it basically takes place over 14 days. And it's like the incubation period where you see the, you know, the characters are kind of realizing that something is wrong and then becoming quite sick and the symptoms and then, you know, how the disease generally plays out. And it's from the perspective of, you know, one side is Dr. Charles Cameron, who's this real life doctor figure. And then the other is Teresa, who's kind of a composite of, you know, a working class woman in Dublin. And it's kind of the differences, how they're interacting with typhoid in the city and the differences there and how their kind of stories then begin to overlap.
Yeah, so she's a nursery maid. She's living in a tenement, and you have Charles Cameron living in this nice Pembroke Road house, having having luncheon and so on. And the orange colour you use, obviously, it shows the bacteria in certain places, but also the anxiety that people suffer that they might have it.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination. I think the orange is used to sort of signify the sort of the fear around this mission, and also the actual disease itself. Kind of, yeah. And I think that, you know, the orange becomes more and more prevalent in the pages as the story goes on, because things get, unfortunately, more and more diseased for the characters and where they are.
Yeah, there's lovely language in it. Hokey pokey, I didn't know, was a kind of late 19th century word for ice cream.
Yeah, yes. There's some great turns of phrase in there, obviously, because class and it's coming from a sort of historical history of medicine perspective, and there was a lot of sort of historians consulted for the project. It's very historically accurate, you know, and we used a lot of images from Dublin at the time, or images of real people, to sort of draw it, and also to sort of make sure that the language made sense as well.
Yeah.
It's some of the language I think had to be explained to me as well.
What sort of sources did you use when you were coming up with the images?
There were sort of actual archival images from various archives in Dublin. And because I guess we're referencing a lot of things that were actually happening, or actual people as well, it was really useful to have the actual images of those things to be able to draw from those. And for a couple of cases, we don't have, you know, we don't know exactly what something looked like, but we have a best guess. But for most things, it was really carefully sourced. And, you know, we wanted to make it as historically accurate as possible. And part of that is, you know, it's now available through all of the libraries, and it's also available for classes, secondary school classes, to use as a kind of a historical reference point as well. So it was important to be, you know, to be accurate in the project, of course.
Yeah, no, were you always into comics, Claire?
I've always loved them, and I've been making them for many years. So I was delighted to be brought onto this. You know, I think my comics are generally a bit more fantastical, a bit less historical. Mm-hmm. But it was really fantastic to work with the team, and also to kind of hear about this. They have a couple of different exhibitions coming up. So some of my art will be used in the Royal College of Physicians exhibition, and they have open day on the 16th of June. If anyone would like to go along, you'll be able to see some of my art and some really interesting historical artifacts and just the
medicine students. Yeah, the medicine students will be obsessed.
it's a
fun way to go into a serious topic. Typhoid, it killed one in five of its victims, obviously mostly in the poor working classes, but Dublin's upper classes as well suffered as well. There was a very famous victim of typhoid. Did you know Molly Malone?
Yes, and actually on the Typhoid Land website, they have a little animation about Molly Malone. Which is another one of their sort of, making kind of historical things.
Yeah, we don't
about typhoid in a sort of an interesting and artistic way.
And we sort of forget sometimes that it's literally in the lines of the song for Molly Malone. Here's the piece as sung by Sinead O'Connor.
She died of a fever, and no one could save her. The end of sweet Molly Malone. Now her ghost wheels her barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels.
Wow, what a way to bring that beautiful piece of folklore to life, as only Sinead O'Connor could. The song, it nearly names the whole thing, doesn't it? Because you've got the cockles and muscles lyric.
Yeah.
Typhoid, cockles and terrorism is the How a Disease Shaped Modern Dublin, and typhoidland.org is the website, but it's connected to the exhibition, which is opening in June.
Yes, the two digital exhibitions and one physical exhibition launching in June. And I myself will be running a workshop for teenagers, kind of 12 to 16-year-olds during Heritage Week as well, about adapting historical comics, if anyone is interested in that.
Heritage Week in August.
Details will be on the website.
Yes. But listen, Claire Foley, thanks so much for joining us. Fear and Fever is the name of the graphic novel that we've been chatting about. But good luck to you, Claire. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million, Oliver. Cheers. Bye-bye.
51551, that's the text.
Email oliver@rte.ie.